Within the first year of the Ionian Revolt, the Athenians pulled out. And the Athenians gave no support in the final stages of the rebellion. Themistocles had argued in favor of support. And after the rebellion was put down, Themistocles actually sponsored a tragedy by a playwright known as Phranicus, who wrote a work called The Sack of Miletus, which dramatized the hardships suffered by the defeated Ionian rebels. It brought tears to the eyes of the Athenian audience. It led to the playwright being fined for making the Athenian people so upset, and it led to the play being prohibited from being performed again. We only have one line that survives from Herodotus from the whole thing. Hardly a stellar recommendation for most Ionians to turn over their destinies to the Athenians. Furthermore, the Athenians arrived in great numbers in their ships in 478, 479, during the common naval operations, which involved Peloponnesians, Athenians, and Ionians, that is, the Greeks of Asia Minor and the islands. They would have been able to see Athenians up close. And everything I said in an earlier lecture about these Athenian thetes being confident, arrogant, having the physique of crew, members of a crew team, all of this would have driven home to many Ionian aristocrats, maybe we don't want to hook up with this outfit. This is a little too crazy, whatever this democratic situation is. And so initially, the Ionians, I think in the first couple of years after the Persian defeat, really looked to Sparta to give that leadership. And unfortunately, Sparta failed to do so. Many would argue, many modern scholars would argue, that this was in the cards. Given Spartan social and political institutions, the Spartans were just unfit to rule outside the Peloponnesus. And I think that's unfair. And I believe there was a coincidence of events and also of personalities that led to this unusual decision whereby the Athenians were invited. That must be stressed. They were invited by the Ionians to organize a naval league and take on the war against Persia. And that naval league in time would become the Athenian Empire, the Archae, the imperial order, so hated by the Peloponnesians and Spartans and at the crux of the issue of war and peace in 432 BC when the Peloponnesian War broke out. Well, two of the problems were the Spartan leaders themselves. Pausanias turned out to be an extremely arrogant and difficult figure. We'll go into more details of the Spartan leadership issues later on. But he was not a king. He was a royal figure. He commanded successfully in the first year. In 478 BC, he led perhaps a fleet of some 300 triremes, first to Cyprus, liberated Cyprus. He established his base then at Byzantium, the strategic entryway into the Black Sea. And Byzantium had been under Persian rule for some time. And Pausanias really got to like the idea of ruling like a Persian governor with whip bearers and all sorts of orders you can give to people. And anyway, Persian palaces are really fun, given the kind of austere lifestyle that he had in Sparta. But again, Pausanias is a peculiar figure. He was not a king and yet could have been a king. He missed out because of the succession. And eventually he was recalled twice to Sparta and answered charges for this. And his behavior in Byzantium, especially vis-a-vis the various allies, the Ionian allies, really raised questions about Spartan leadership. The other king was a rather uninspired figure. He was the Eurypontid, that is the king of the junior line. His name was Leotychidas, and he had been sent into Thessaly, into central Greece, to punish those states that had backed Xerxes. It's apparently in that expedition where a rumor got started that the Spartans were going to transport all the East Greeks back to Greece on the land of the Medizers and essentially give up Ionia. No one's quite sure where that story came from. That was never a serious policy, and that was, who knows who put that one out. But the trouble with Leontikidas is that he got called back to Sparta and was put on trial for charges of bribery and convicted. And so within a matter of 2 years after the great victories, I mean, both regal figures, Pausanias is not quite a king, their character and position was questioned, and the Spartans themselves began to question the wisdom of sending out such figures, a king who had a very dubious background to start. He actually was the successor of Demaratus on the put in power by Cleomenes in a very strange setup, and then Pausanias, the regent. And many Spartans were beginning to have second thoughts. Well, maybe it's not a good idea to get too far involved in this naval war. At the same time, the Athenians were lucky to have a third man on the scene, Aristides, who made the difference also.